so that people don't get put in a situation where all of a sudden they need care and can't get it. But if you're going to close that gate in terms of getting into the system, you are going to have more people out there that have been turned down for care and have nowhere else to go. Now, you know and are aware of the fact that there's a number of bills that have already been introduced this year, you know, from some of the activities last year. And we feel that the rescission issue is one of those issues that it's gotten a lot of publicity, and so we think it will probably be dealt with. But there's other pieces that also need to be looked at very carefully, and that includes some of the individual market reforms, including maybe some of the medical underwriting standards, how people get into plans, and some of the maybe the standardization, categorization of the plans to simplify what's going on so consumers can shop comparatively. But also, and maybe most importantly, the whole issue of the risk pool. You don't hear very much about it, but it is closed now. And from what I hear, there's no hope in the foreseeable future that that's going to change. And so if the rescission issue starts getting addressed, we've got an even bigger problem than we do right now. Because right now, there is nowhere else for people to go that they can get care if they've been rejected, et cetera. So we would hope that, I mean, AARP is intending on trying to look at a range of issues this year that could be packaged, that could try and address the needs of people that have nowhere else to go for care and that it can improve access for the health consumer. So we just wanted to raise that flag that in the context of what has been said today, it's really important to keep an eye on the broader picture as well, that we've got an access issue and the risk pool is hurting badly and that some reforms are needed, and we hope to work with both sides of the aisle and making sure that that happens this year.
I appreciate that. As you know, I haven't in this hearing raised the sort of the broader overarching issue, since it's pretty well known where I stand on reforms in terms of one big reform.
Right.
Guaranteed issue, of course, would take care of some of that, but if you don't, if you only do even that piecemeal, as you pointed out in other arenas, it can create additional problems, especially with uncapped premiums,
sure,
et cetera. So I always look forward to working with AARP. I have been a member for 17 years. And I'm not sure if I'm renewing my membership after the TIFF we had last year, but I guess I could probably do that.
Anyway, we appreciate the hearing today and your lengthy willingness to sit around and listen to us to the bitter end.
Thank you very much. And finally.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Erin Riggs with the California Mental Health Directors Association. A lot of the comments that you've heard today focused on not just parity, but access. And again, without access, you never really achieve parity. We see this in the county mental health system. When private plan beneficiaries cannot get access through their private plans to obtain timely treatment, they wind up coming in crisis through county mental health doors. For every dollar that we wind up spending on a private plan beneficiary is one less dollar that we could spend on our target populations. One of the most critical things that we see is when we wind up treating these individuals coming to us in crisis is that the private plans will not reimburse us always for some of the treatment services that we've provided to their enrollee or their subscriber. Some of the plans are better than others. Some of the plans have worked collaboratively with county mental health and have reached agreements, but there are still some other players out there that aren't as receptive, and county mental health, without having a previously signed contract in place, winds up picking up the tab. At taxpayer expense, I should add. A couple of other things that I'd like to just briefly mention is that this really puts county mental health in an untenable situation. We really only have two choices. We can either deny services to the client, and tell them to contact their private plan, not an optimal way to go. Or we can serve the client knowing that the insurance company is not likely to reimburse us unless a contract had been in place prior to that service being provided. Finally, I think it's important to shed some light on some of the very stark contrasts between private health insurance plans and county mental health plans, which are managed care plans. We have no problem providing a 24/7 access line. We are mandated to do so, and we fail to see the logic in how private plans can continually skirt around the issue and not provide 24/7 access. The other thing that I'd like to mention is that county mental health plans do have a medically necessary definition. They have criteria established. We adhere to that. And the private health plans are able to develop their own criteria as they see fit. So finally, on my final note is just to say that true insurance parity for serious mental illness should focus on the same kind of access and disease management as any other physical illness. And we know that there are challenges on the physical health side as well. We heard some of those today. But until the system is really equitable across all levels of care, the public system will continue to carry much of the burden when the private plans don't do the ethically and responsible thing of providing care to their enrollees. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, Jim Gross on behalf of the Local Health Plans of California. As the last witness, I will be very quick.
Thank you, sir.
The local initiatives want to actually recognize the department for significant assistance they've provided over the last couple years under the trying Medi-Cal fiscal times. As you know, the local initiatives are regulated with respect to their fiscal solvency and the like by the department. At the same time, we contract with the Department of Healthcare Services. We're often caught in the middle between the rates that we get and the impact it has on our T&E and the like. The department has been very helpful in stepping in to work with the department when plans have faced serious fiscal situations. And we want to recognize that. It's a small part of what they do, but a very important part of what they do for the 8 local initiatives. And we wanted to make sure that your committee was aware of the help that they did provide. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone who testified. I'm certain the director's happy she stayed for the public testimony, since the department was praised at least a couple of times, which is appropriate. The mental health parity materials that were referred to by the speakers in that panel, if anyone didn't get them, are available at the front table here next to the sergeant. Our materials are still available and will be available on my website, the agenda and the materials that we put out. Anything else that people want to get to us, obviously, we're always accepting. It doesn't have to be today. Thanks to my members. Thanks to my staff. A big thanks to my staff. Thanks to the department and the department staff, and thanks to all the witnesses. And this hearing's adjourned.